Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. A huge shout out to all the moms out there. I hope you are having a phenomenal morning, and I hope you're encouraged today. Proud of you. We are going to keep walking through this season. I was doing the math, and we have been in this social distancing quarantine now for almost 2 months. So if you feel tired, I completely understand. A lot has changed in the last few months. A lot of things we've missed over the last few months. I don't know about you, but I miss connection. I miss being able to be around other people. A lot of us are missing haircuts. And one thing I've missed that maybe we've all missed as well, not as consequential as some of the other things, is sports. I'll be real honest, man. In my house, we watch sports a lot, and I'm missing it. All three of my boys play baseball, and the baseball season was completely taken away. They didn't get to play this year. One of my favorite sporting events of the year is the Masters, and it got postponed, but we still didn't have it. Baseball season, Major League Baseball didn't start yet. It got postponed. The NBA has had to shut down. And so it's just been tough. There's nothing to watch. There's no highlights. There's nothing to talk about. And so in the midst of everything else, we're missing sports. And about 2 or 3 weeks into the quarantine, into this whole situation, ESPN stepped up. Now, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. But ESPN announced that they were going to move up a documentary they had been preparing to show before. And they announced that on April 19th, they were going to start showing The Last Dance. Now, when they made this announcement in my house, we threw a party. We were super excited. I know a lot of people were excited because The Last Dance was a 10-part documentary about Michael Jordan and the Bulls. And it was perfect to come out in April because there was no sports. There was nothing to do. They're releasing 2 episodes on Sunday nights. And when they released this on April 19th, the very first Sunday night, over 6.5 million people watch this. Like, it was a live sporting event. It turned out to be one of the most watched, I think it was the most watched ESPN documentary of all time. And it couldn't have come at a better time for me and my boys. And so we've really enjoyed watching this series together. In fact, it's mandatory viewing in my house. I've made my boys watch it because I don't want them to ever engage in the silly debate about who the greatest basketball player of all time is. Like, I need them to be smarter than that. I need them to understand. And so you can debate who's number two, you can debate who's number three, but there is no debate about who's number one. It's Michael Jordan. And so we've been watching this series together. It's been really fantastic. And in fact, this past Sunday, we watched some of it, and it was covering Jordan when he was in Barcelona in 92 at the Olympics with the Dream Team. And they were showing footage of practice, and Magic Johnson was talking about this infamous game they played at practice one time and how Jordan just took over at the end and how he kind of established there he was kind of the alpha, he was kind of the man. And there was a really funny quote right after that, because Ahmad Rashad, who's a buddy of Jordan's but also a reporter, asked Jordan a question. And he just said, "Hey, man, we're here at Barcelona, get this legends on this team. Question for you. When the game's on the line at the end, who gets the ball?" And Jordan didn't even blink. He just giggled. And he said, "Me. Of course, it's me." And he just kind of walked away laughing. And to me, that was sort of the quintessential Jordan moment, because he just had this desire for pressure. He had this desire for the game to be in his hands when it was on the line. Now, sometimes he would take the shot. Sometimes he would pull in the defenders and he would pass to somebody else. But he wanted that pressure. He wanted the game on his shoulders when it matters. And more times than not, he delivered. And it was one of the things that set him apart, just his ability to thrive under pressure, his calm. You never saw Jordan lose his composure. You never saw him get shaken. He was always in complete control. And a couple weeks ago, I was reading some interviews that he gave in preparation for this documentary. And he actually talks about that. And I want to share the quote with you because it's fascinating to me, and I think it really sets us up perfectly for where we want to go today. Here's what Jordan said. He said, "People didn't believe me when I told them that I practiced harder than I played." But it was true, because that's where my comfort zone was created. And he kept going. And he said, "By the time the game came, all I had to do was react to what my body was already accustomed to doing." So what he's basically saying is he identified the skills he would need in the high-pressure moments. He identified the skills he'd need in the high-pressure situation. And he worked on those skills over and over and over and over. And he practiced and he practiced and he practiced and he practiced until he perfected them. So that when those high-pressure situations happen, it was completely automatic. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world does this have to do with thriving when we're exhausted? What does this have to do with church and with God? And my hope today is by the time we're done, we're all going to understand that it has a lot more to do with it than we think it does. Today, we're continuing our series, End of My Rope. And it's a series all about how to thrive when we're exhausted. What is God's answer to our tiredness, especially in this season? If today is your very first time joining us, man, I'm so glad that you're here. And I would encourage you, if you don't have it already, to grab our app. You can download it right now. You can download it after the service, and you can go back and you can catch up. Because this is actually, we're right in the middle of this series. You've covered a lot of content so far, and I'd love for you to be able to catch up. But basically what we've learned over the series is that when we are tired, we can come to Jesus, and He wants to help. And we learned that week one because we learned a promise that He makes us. And it's this. We learned that Jesus is with us today, and He is working on tomorrow. When we feel tired, when we feel exhausted, we can come to Him, and He'll be with us. He will equip us. He will give us tools to be able to thrive today, and He will give us the assurance that He is working on tomorrow. And for the last several weeks, we've been learning about these tools. We've been learning about the different gifts He gives us that makes it easier for us to thrive when we are tired. We learned, for example, we learned about wisdom, which is a gift He gives us, and it gives us the ability to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. He gives us the ability to step when we aren't even sure where to step. We can trust Him and we can trust the solid ground He provides. Last week, we learned about another gift He gives us, which is perseverance, which is the ability to keep going when things are difficult. He can actually energize us to walk the path that He lays out for us. And this week, I want to talk about yet another tool, another gift that He gives us when we come to Him that will allow us to thrive even when we are exhausted. And that tool is this. He gives us peace. And here's how we're defining peace. Peace is the ability to feel calm when things are not. Peace is the ability to remain composed. It's the ability to remain in control. It's the ability to quiet our emotions when the world around us is in chaos. And not necessarily even the world around us. Sometimes when the chaos is going on inside of us, Jesus gives us the ability to experience calm. We can also think of peace and define it negatively. Peace is the absence of worry. Peace is the absence of anxiety. And what Jesus wants to offer us today is the ability to walk through life equipped when we feel worry, when we feel anxiety, to know how to deal with it, to lessen that in our lives. And for me, this is a perfect time to talk about it in a series on exhaustion, because there is nothing more draining, there is nothing more exhausting than anxiety. Think about when you experience anxiety. Normally your heart rate might raise a little bit. You experience shortness of breath. You get this feeling in the pit of your stomach. Sometimes it even leads to like tension in our necks, and it can give us headaches. When it's really bad, it can lead to insomnia. Another way to define anxiety is restlessness. And in a season where we are already exhausted, knowing how to deal with worry, knowing how to deal with anxiety, knowing how to lessen that in our lives can truly begin to set us free. And that's what I want to talk about today, because Jesus offers us the answer. He offers us the solution to anxiety. And it comes to us through one of his most faithful servants, a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. We believe Paul would write letters to churches to give them instructions for how to follow Jesus, and we believe God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters, which means we can read those letters thousands of years later, and it's as if God himself is speaking directly to us. And in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he directly addresses this issue. He gives us the answer. In fact, he gives us two answers. He gives us two practices that we can adopt that will allow us to experience the peace that Jesus promises. So what I want to do is I want to go ahead and turn straight to the text, and I want to show you what Paul says and what God is saying through Paul to us today for how we can experience the peace that Jesus promises. Here's what Paul says. First thing out of the gate, don't worry about anything. Other translations say, be anxious for nothing. But Paul says, hey, when you're experiencing worry, when you're experiencing anxiety, don't. Just stop it. Which is really funny. You ever heard the joke about the guy who went to the doctor and he says, hey, doctor, it hurts when I touch my cheek. And the doctor says, well, stop touching your cheek. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like Paul's saying here. Paul, it sounds like he's saying, hey, if you don't want to worry, stop worrying. But that's not what Paul's doing. That's just the beginning of this teaching. And so he says, hey, do not worry about anything. And he gives us alternative. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So what he's doing is he's contrasting. He's giving us a step. He's saying, when you feel anxious, when you worry, pray. And he even tells us what to pray about. He says, tell God what you need. So in other words, if you are feeling nervous about your health, tell God, hey, God, I'm nervous about my health. If you're feeling anxious about an upcoming meeting or an upcoming appointment or an upcoming test, say, hey, God, I'm nervous. I'm feeling anxious about this test. If you feel anxiety over your children, if you feel anxiety over your parents, whatever it is you're feeling anxious about, Paul says, hey, don't be anxious. Pray. Talk to God. Tell him what you need. Tell him exactly what's bothering you. Lay it on the table. Bring it out. Share it with him. Come to him. And I love this because, again, we are leaning right back into the very heart of this series, that Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. It is an invitation to come to him. We come to him when we need wisdom. We come to him when we need perseverance. And today we come to him when we need peace. We bring it to him. We lay out for him what is wrong. And Paul says, while you're praying, don't just tell him what you need, but also thank him for all he has done. So when you're talking to God about the things you need, he's saying, also while you're talking to him, thank him for what he's done in the past. For example, if you're talking to him about your anxiety about an upcoming meeting, you can also say, and hey, thanks for being with me in that last meeting. If you have anxiety about finals, if you have the anxiety about finishing the year strong, you can say, hey, God, I have anxiety about this. I'm worried about this. And thanks for being with me all year. Thanks for helping me out. Thanks for always being with me. Thanks for the things you have done before. And so what Paul's saying is he's saying, hey, look, when you feel nervous, when you feel anxious, when the blood pressure begins to rise, when you can't calm yourself, come to your Heavenly Father. Come to Jesus. Tell him what's wrong and thank him for what is right. It's so simple. And then here's what Paul says will happen. When you do that, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. He said, when you do these things, you will experience peace that is beyond anything we can understand. Other translations call it the peace that passes understanding, because here's what that means. Here's what we're being promised. We're being promised peace in a storm. We're not being promised that the storm will go away. We're just being promised peace in it. When we bring a problem to God, God's not saying, hey, I'm going to solve that problem and that's going to give you peace. God's saying, I'm going to remind you, you have a God bigger than your problem and that will give you peace. I will produce that in you. And it's a very simple formula. It's exactly what Paul says. It's two practices and it equals a promise. And here they are. What Paul is saying is prayer plus praise equals peace. You pray about it, you praise God for it, and what Paul is promising is that you will feel peace. You will experience peace. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that sounds too good to be true. That sounds too simple. That sounds too easy. And I understand that. But if you've ever tried it, if you've ever truly stood before your Heavenly Father, if you've ever experienced the relief that comes from praying to Him, from laying it all out there, from telling Him how you feel, telling Him what's wrong, and then also thanking Him for what's right, you know that this works. You know that peace is found there. And a really cool thing happened a couple of years ago when I was studying this passage and I stumbled upon an article that talked about some research that a neuroscientist at UCLA was doing. His name is Dr. Alex Korb. And what his research discovered is that God has wired our bodies for His instructions to work. Now, Dr. Alex Korb didn't set out to prove that. He just set out to understand how our emotions worked. But what he discovered reveals that these instructions God gave us thousands of years ago fit perfectly into the design of our brains. And they explain how they produce peace. I'd love to share just a little bit about this experiment that Dr. Korb did, because basically he was studying people's emotions and he was monitoring the amygdala, which is the emotional center of the brain, and he would show his subjects pictures. And these pictures were meant to induce emotions. And they were measuring the amygdalas, and they would work. And so people would see the pictures, and the emotion would be produced, and they'd pick it up on the monitors, and it would be pretty strong. They would feel it pretty strongly. And they discovered something amazing, that when they asked the people to label the emotion, the intensity dropped. Here's what he said. Dr. Korb said, when they were asked to name the emotion, the ventrolateral prefrontal cortex activated and reduced the emotional amygdala reactivity. Exactly. You understand that, right? Let's keep going. In other words, consciously recognizing the emotions reduced their impact. Now don't miss what he's saying. He's saying he was monitoring their brains and they were experiencing these emotions at an intense level until they spoke them out loud, until they labeled them, until they named them, because it activated a different part of their brain and it lessened the emotion. Which is why our Heavenly Father says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Speak about everything. Come to me about everything. Tell me what is wrong. Say it out loud. Because He's wired us for that to bring relief. And that's not all. What does Paul tell us to do? Pray and praise. Guess what else Dr. Korb discovered in his research? Not only did he discover that labeling emotions lessened them, he discovered something about gratitude. And here it is. One powerful effect of gratitude is that it can boost serotonin. Now, serotonin is a chemical in our brain. If you're familiar with the drug Prozac, it's an anti-anxiety medication. Prozac helps boost the serotonin levels in our brain. And so what Dr. Korb discovered was that gratitude itself can boost serotonin. And here's how. Because trying to think of things you are grateful for forces you to focus on the positive aspects of your life. This simple act increases serotonin production in the anterior cingulate cortex. Again, in layman's terms, God's way works. What Dr. Korb discovered is that when we seek to be grateful, which is all praise is, all praise is directing our gratitude to our Heavenly Father. It's thinking of all the things we are grateful for that He's given us and thanking Him for it. And what science has confirmed is that the formula Paul offers us works. And it's this. It's that prayer plus praise equals peace. Isn't that amazing? Isn't our God so good? And here's the amazing thing about prayer and praise. We can do them whenever we want. We can learn how to pray. We can learn how to praise. They are fully and freely available to us to use 24/7, 365. And when we do, remember the promise that was made. Remember these words. When we do these things, then and only then will you experience God's peace. The peace that exceeds anything we can understand, which means anytime we're in a high-pressure situation, anytime there's chaos, anytime the world around us feels like it's slipping, we can pray, we can praise, and we can experience peace. But God's promise even goes beyond the immediate. See, God has a promise to prepare us for what might be coming, to prepare us for those high-pressure situations. Because here's what He says next. He says, when you do these things, His peace, which is Jesus's, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what He's saying is, not only can you use these practices here and now when you experience anxiety, what He's saying is, if you lean into prayer, if you lean into praise, if you lean into these practices, you can almost build up a protection around your heart, a protection around your life, protection that comes from Jesus. Because His peace, because it's all His, will guard your heart. His peace will protect your heart. His peace can actually comfort you now in preparation for what's coming. So when you walk into the high-pressure situation, when you walk into the high-intensity moment, you're already prepared. Because you know how to pray, you know how to praise, your heart is prepared, and even in those moments, you can remain calm, you can remain free of worry, you can remain free of anxiety, all because we took God up on His promise, all because we trusted that His way would work. And again, what's His way? Well, He's told us. It's prayer plus praise equals peace. And so here's a challenge for all of us today. What can we do to practice prayer? What can we do to practice praise? What can we do today to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts for the coming high-pressure moments? See, this brings me back to Michael Jordan. Jordan wasn't simply the best because he was the most talented. He was the best because he practiced the hardest. He was the best because he perfected the skills he knew he would need in the toughest moments. See, what Jesus is offering us today is the roadmap to perfecting the skills we'll need in the toughest moments, to perfecting our ability to pray, to growing a relationship with Him that is so open and so strong that we feel free to talk about anything, to opening our eyes to the goodness of Him in our lives so that praise just flows from us at all times. And as we learn to pray and as we learn to praise, His promise is that we will walk in peace, that we will experience a life with less anxiety, with less worry than we would experience without Him. And so, Wellspring, what we want to do today as your church is we want to help equip you. We want to help equip you to pray, to know how to pray, to actually know how to label the emotions we have. We actually have some resources that we want to share with you at the end of our service today to hopefully propel you this week and this month in your relationship with God as you learn how to accurately tell Him what you need. And we also want to help you praise Him for what He has done, to develop a heart of gratitude, a heart of just joy over who God is. And in fact, we have a song we want to share with you right now. And I hope you'll listen to this song. If you're comfortable, you will sing along, because it is a song that reminds us where we can truly find our peace, where we can go when we need help. So I encourage you to listen to this song and then stick around, because we have some resources we want to share with you when it's over.